Welcome to the Retired Podcast. I'm Riley.
And I'm Noah.
We're former professional athletes turned to parents and business owners.
We created this podcast to talk about sports, life, and everything in between.
Thanks for joining us. Let's get to it.
Welcome back to the Retired Podcast. Today in this episode, we are going to talk about recruiting.
This is a good one.
This is a big one.
I entered the transfer portal on my drinks.
What?
I've been committed to VA University for quite some time. They're not giving me the NIL money I want, so I'm now Team Recover 180. Sponsor the podcast.
That was pretty smooth, actually.
I'll be honest. Just a quick plug. They're not paying me to say this. On this platform, at least. Recover 180 has got to be the best sports drink in the game right now. It is like Body Armor.
It's organic.
On steroids.
It's because organic.
It's organic and it's made with coconut water. And it's just, the flavors are insane. For something to be USDA organic, by the way. Not just like some Joe Schmo mom and pop organic. USDA certified organic. And the flavors are incredible. My favorite is probably strawberry banana. But super berry is also pretty good. So Recover. Get your organic hydration on, my friends. Okay, here we go.
Now that everybody has stopped listening.
No.
Let's make sure.
That was a free ad.
Okay. All right, recruiting. We're going to talk about lots of things.
Yeah.
Very briefly. We'll get into more detail maybe if y'all want to hear something a little bit more in depth. This is just kind of surface level.
Yeah, this is a recruiting episode one. And then I think what we should do is
leave a comment. Yeah.
Or send us a DM. Because we'll probably post a reel from this. And send us a DM about your recruiting questions. And we'll do an episode two just doing a Q&A about recruiting questions.
We do have to preface this though and say we got recruited. Mm-hmm. I started getting recruited in like 2010.
Oh my gosh.
That was 15 years ago. So needless to say, the recruiting landscape has changed probably a lot. We're just going to give examples based on our experience and then what we see from the kids we give lessons to now.
I wasn't as good. So I got recruited in 2014 because
it was different in softball.
There were rules. Yeah. I can't believe that. Y'all could get recruited at like 12 years old, 13 years old. That's nuts.
No, there was a girl that committed to Florida when she was 12.
That's insane. Who was it?
I forgot her name. She's not there. She didn't end up going there. She went somewhere else.
See, that's why you don't commit somewhere when you're 12 because you're going to be totally different by the time you're 18. Better or for worse.
Anyways, tell me your story. Tell me your recruiting story.
A recruiting story.
Briefly.
Me being brief. Tough. Okay. Well, in high school, I was kind of a fly under the radar kind of guy. I wasn't anything like special as far as tools go. I could hit it a little bit.
I feel like you're being modest.
Maybe. I mean,
hit a little bit.
Okay, let me say this. I flew under the radar in my district. I was in a really good district in high school with guys like Luke and Baker and Durbin Feltman and like Bo Ridgeway, who was on my team. Like, these guys are going to TCU, UT, Chris Andristos at the Woodlands. He was committed to OU, like just some studs. And so for me, that was considered, I flew under the radar in my district, but I was good. I was good enough to go D1. And that's a part of my story was like, I, for some reason, was hell bent on going D1. I don't know if it was because the guys around me that I grew up playing with were all big time D1 guys. And I was like, I know I'm as good and can hang with these guys. So I wanted to go D1. And that's the first thing I'll say. I wish I was not so quick to write off JUCO for a player like me, because I was nowhere near the player that I was going to be, say, a year or 2 years into college. I was a totally different player my sophomore year of college than I was my senior year of high school, even after my freshman year. So, anyways, got a handful of offers. The biggest and the first school that ever talked to me was Arkansas. So, like, I thought I was the Mac Daddy man. I was like, oh, sick. First school contacted me is Arkansas, Tony Vitello. I still have his phone number. I don't think he had any clue who I am if I was to call him today. But
right now.
Yeah, no, I thought I was like, okay. Like, it was eye-opening for me because I truly never knew. I thought I was a good baseball player, but until a school like that came along, like I didn't know where I stood. And so when they came along, I kind of got my hopes up, I think, a little bit with the recruiting process. I was like, oh, sick. I'm playing SEC baseball. Let's go. And then after that came some other like smaller schools, mid-majors like UTA, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. I had some JUCOs come along, Blinn, Weatherford. And so I think that's why I was kind of like, no to JUCO. I was like, no, I'm talking to Arkansas. Like, why would I go to Blinn? Little did I know that, you know, these bigger schools, and I'm not going to say all of them, but they tend to over-recruit. And as time went on, I could feel their interest in me kind of slipping a little bit. They weren't as communicative, and I think that they probably just found a better fit. And so by the time the visit came around, I didn't feel the same excitement. And so these are things that in the recruiting process you have to kind of navigate on your own because you don't know. But you just go with your gut. That's truly what I did. So anyways, as more schools rolled in, I would say this, take every visit that you possibly can. If it's doable, go everywhere, because you don't know where you're going to go until you get there on campus, you meet the staff, and you just get this gut feeling. So I went to everywhere, and UTA was not a place that I had ever heard of. I was from Houston. UTA is up here in Arlington, Fort Worth area, and I didn't know a thing about them. I thought that they were probably a decent sized school, but I knew it was a mid-major and I knew it was in a decent conference. And so that was kind of my draw to go on the visit. I was like, okay, Sun Belt conference. It's not Power Five, but good teams in that conference. And I went on the visit. They offered me as close to a full ride as you can without, I think, like books or something like that. And so I don't know. I just got that feel. I was like, this is, if I want to do what I want to do in this sport, which is play pro ball, not just go play big SEC ball, that's where I needed to be. That's where I had an opportunity to go in and start as a freshman. And so, yeah, that's kind of my story. I got on campus, everything just, all the boxes checked. The guy who recruited me was the same in person as he was on the phone for the last year that he was talking to me. Like, it just felt very genuine. I didn't feel like I was being lied to for a year, and then on campus in person, got a totally different vibe, which, again, no shots at these schools, but like that's how I felt at Arkansas. That's how I felt at A&M when I went on that visit. Like when I got to A&M, the guy who recruited me for last year was not even the one who was doing my visit with me. It was a different coach. And he looked me up and down, and in 2 seconds I could see that he was like, why is this guy even here on a visit right now? And so I was like quickly like, okay, I'm not going here. Which sucks because that was actually my dream school at the time. But anyways, to keep it brief, had a handful of offers, big SEC schools, all the way down to JUCO, went on every visit I could, and eventually UTA was my home, and I felt like it was exactly where I needed to be. It's perfect for me. What about you, 12-year-old Riley?
Let me just start by talking about the rules. So there weren't really any rules as far as how early a coach could contact you, but there were rules on who could initiate contact, I guess. Mm-hmm. So like the college coach would not be able to talk to us or my parents at tournaments, but they could tell my coach for me to call them. So my coach would give me their number, and then I would call them at a scheduled time, and they would answer.
That's so nerve-wracking.
So that's like, that's the loophole. For a 13-year-old. I'm literally 13.
Yeah. Hey, call this coach from A&M.
Yeah. Well, the first school that ever showed any interest in me was Texas Tech, and that's when Shannon Hayes was the coach there. That was my first visit, and I was super nervous.
He's at GCU now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Texas Tech was awesome. I really liked it there. A lot of people from my area, where I live, go there.
Rank'em Tech.
My next couple of visits were to OU, Washington, A&M, obviously, UT. Oregon asked me to go on one, but I didn't really feel like I wanted to go there. We'll talk about kind of what you need to look for in schools that are recruiting you or places you would like to be recruited from.
And what age was all this happening? Like
13.
13 years old, and you have like 10 of the top softball schools in the nation, probably the top 10 softball schools in the nation, saying, hey, come visit.
Well, Heather Tarr had just won the national championship at UW.
Yeah.
And so they're like, all right, go ahead and talk to Heather.
It's like, yeah.
It's like, I literally was shaking.
That's insane. That's phone. So cool.
It's insane. They've changed the rules since then. Thank the Lord.
Yeah, that's a lot for a 13-year-old.
Yeah, but I went on every visit. My parents were determined for me to take it kind of slow just because we were so young. Nobody really pressured me to do anything except for, I'm not going to name the name, one school. I had a meeting with the coach in her office,
And she made it seem like if I did not accept her offer before I walked out of the room, it was no longer going to be there.
That was a no for you.
That was a no for me. Yeah. Cause I'm young. Like I want somebody who understands the position that I'm in, yeah. But I have to respect that coach because, that's just how she wanted things. She wanted people to have like no doubt about going there. And I had doubts. So that's fair.
That's well, why she like wanted. That's a doubt in itself to have a coach kind of like pressure a 13-year-old into saying, hey, it's I right mean, here right now.
Or she wants not. People who are passionate about, she wanted people who are passionate about their program. And I get it. I wasn't as passionate as.
I know exactly what school you're talking about.
I wasn't
about.
As passionate as, I was not a Sooner fan. I just said it.
Oops.
What? Good thing nobody listens to this.
Well,
anyways.
But here's the thing, though, on that topic is like,
yeah.
95% of the girls you give lessons to, you're like, hey, where do you want to go to college?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you.
This
and
is when like, this is when sense. Lauren was there too.
It
she
makes
was a
sense.
Freshman.
I mean,
but I had doubts, and there were other girls in the visit with me that ended up going there and making a huge difference. And
but I feel like it helps that you said it because now it's like you would understand why
sorry, Patty
Gasso would say that. Like, hey,
yeah.
It's oh, you or nothing. It's like, most people would be like, yeah. Because
yeah. She wasn't like mean about it no. either. It was just kind of like, I have other girls here on the visit with you
yeah.
that I'm offering a spot to.
If you have any reason not to go to OU, then you're probably not
exactly.
OU worthy.
And
AAM
was always my dream school. And they were actually, you know, I went to the camps, like the summer camps, like the fun summer camps, since I was little. And they, Joe Evans was a little bit slower on the prep. The pressure side, she did not like the early recruiting stuff. She was really against it. And so I actually didn't even feel like they wanted me to go there because yeah. of how just like not intense they were.
Yeah.
But that was just a reflection of her not wanting to like come across as being too aggressive.
Again, this is why you don't recruit 13-year-olds.
This is why the rules have changed.
That's a lot.
I can't believe I let that slip.
Both sides of that is a lot.
Restart the podcast.
No, I mean, it
clip
helps.
That.
It honestly helps to say it because like I said, OU is probably the only place they can be like that and be like,
yeah,
what reasons do you not have to come to OU?
Exactly.
If it's not now, then why? And,
yeah.
And if it's not now, then sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I've got other people dying.
But my dad is still a pilot with Southwest. And so we had free flights. So we went on and I went to private school, so I didn't have to be in school. And so we went on as many visits as possible. I went to Missouri twice. I went to UW twice. I went to A&M several times.
If not
Stanford A&M, twice.
If not A&M, where do you think you would have gone and why?
Probably UW. That was kind of my second. Like my top four, I would say, were A&M, UW, Stanford, and Missouri. And I just had good. I had good feelings when I went to those places. The towns. I had different feelings about each town, and city and state those places were in. A&M was definitely my dream school overall and ended up being where I went, but I would say UW probably. I was
good
really
Huskies.
Like smitten by that place. I liked that place a lot. It was a cool feeling.
It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. But A&M was the very last school to offer me a scholarship. I think I had like 7 or 8 offers. A&M was the last school to offer me and the lowest scholarship offer. But I took it because that's what I wanted to be and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. I didn't know that. Lowest scholarship offer.
Well,
but that was because you had.
They offered me a certain percentage. My grandparents started a college fund for me when I was little, so my college basically was fully paid for.
Yeah.
And
they knew that.
No, I told them that, and I gave them back a percentage. I like counter offered my scholarship basically, and like gave them.
You got yourself less.
Got myself less. I didn't need it.
They could.
And I knew other people needed it. So
other. Look at you doing the.
It wasn't my idea. My parents.
What are the
can take full credit.
Things?
The core values. Don't put me on the spot because I don't know all 6 of them.
What are the core values?
I don't know. I always say honesty, but honesty is not a core value. It's integrity, I think.
Same thing.
Or maybe that's not even integrity. Anyways.
Same thing. Commitment, pride, honor, and success.
No.
Those are the 4 for my high school. CPHS, College Park High School.
Tough.
Commitment, pride, honor, success. okay. Anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, wow, that's. I couldn't imagine trying to navigate all that as a 13-year-old, but that's really cool. I mean, that's fun. It's so fun.
It was exciting. I was almost too young to know it was happening.
Yeah.
So it almost took the pressure away from it when they're there watching you because you're just playing the game. You're trying to like figure out where the cuts and relays go, not like
how
who's in
the
dance.
How fun is the recruiting process though? Because I feel like a lot of times people talk about how stressful it is. And again, it can be, but like.
It depends on how good it's going for you.
Yeah. But the feeling of being needed and wanted. by a lot of.
Well, it's kind of like dating. I talk about this to my players a lot because when one school, I can never forget this. I was at a recruiting camp called On Deck, and one of the college coaches actually illegally looked at my mom and said, "Watch this." And he went over to the fence, started recording me. And almost every other school in the stands pulled out their camera and started recording me.
It's so funny.
It's like dating. It's like whoever's in the highest demand. Yeah. Even if you don't even know who I am, if some other school says they want me, you automatically want me.
Yeah, it's cool. I remember that with every coach that I would call and talk to, they would always end with, so
who else are you talking to? So do you like me or do you like me?
That was the fun part because Arkansas is the first school I ever talked to.
Yeah.
I could always say that. And I was like, this is a leverage bomb. Like, Arkansas. I'm just talking to this person in Arkansas. And they're like, I could always hear a tone change.
Yeah.
They're like, okay. All right. Well, hey, let us know. I was like, it was fun. It was honestly fun. Cause it feels like you're just trying out all the, who do I want? Who wants
the new kid on the block?
Yeah, it's fun. And it's fun because you work hard for that. And I think that's the first moment that you feel your hard work paying off. I mean, obviously there's other moments, but then you
have to call them and tell them you're not going to that school. That's the hard call. And that's like breaking up. It's literally a relationship.
Honestly, I was lucky with that. Like I only really had one school or coach that I remember talking to who after I said that, every other coach was like, all right, man, hey, best of luck. Totally understand. Appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. And there was only one coach that was like, why? And I was like,
yeah,
it was kind of awkward, but I mean, they wanted to know, but I bet that they wanted to know because they're trying to learn and get better and figure out how do we get
these a lot guys of those next West Coast and Pac-12 schools, RIP the Pac-12. They would always say they could not recruit Texas players because Texas players like to stay home. And for the most case, that was true. Fair,
yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, okay.
Let me ask you one more thing before we move on. What was the worst visit you went on?
I didn't have one, I don't think. What was the worst visit you went on?
I can't really say it was worse. It was good, but it was funny. And here's why. Texas A&M Corpus Christi.
Okay.
And because it was just the order that they did things, it was kind of sketchy. It was like, we got there and the first thing they did was took us into their locker room and showed us all 15 of their uniform combinations because they knew that that was their selling point. It was like, hey, look, we know we're all the way down here in Corpus. We know our field's not great and the wind blows in all the time, which is not good for a hitter, but we have 15 sick uniform combinations.
Come to our school.
And we're sponsored by Adidas. And I was like, yeah, these are cool. I mean, the combos were cool, but I was like,
good colors too.
I just, as soon as that was done and then they got to everything else, I was like, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, they but what's funny is they should have saved that for last. Maybe. Let that be the leaving memory, not the first thing I remember, then all the things after that were kind of just to me, subpar. But Scott Malone was awesome. He was such a high energy guy. And that was a place I honestly considered, but I didn't want to go all the way to Corpus. It was just a long way.
It's 2 hours from Houston.
No, Corpus is five from Houston. It's seven from here. Corpus is far.
How is it five from Houston and seven from here, but Houston is 4 hours from here?
Houston's 3 hours from here.
Houston is, to the north part of Houston, my practices my senior year of high school were in the west side of Houston, and that was 4.5 to 5 hours.
I grew up in Houston longer than you did.
Okay.
I know how far things are. Did you go on a visit to Corpus?
No.
Oh, that's right. I did. And I know how far the drive was. I also played against them 3 times in a row.
Anyways, okay, very briefly, let's just talk about anybody who is listening to this that may be a parent of somebody who's going through or going to go through recruiting soon, or you're actually a player listening. Just talk about best recruiting practices. If you're somebody who wants to get recruited, what do you do? How do you?
Yeah. I was kind of lucky to have my older brother who had to do this before me. And again, times have changed so much, but you remember back when you had recruiting video,
CD
websites. Yeah.
No, the first one, CDs.
Well, there were websites. So there are these companies that you would pay.
Recruiting services.
You'd pay, you'd go out and film your video. They'd edit it together and send it off to schools for you.
That's brutal.
I was lucky I didn't ever have to do that. I don't know. I truly can't say in today's day and age I know the best way because I don't know all the rules specifically anymore, but I do know that it's never a bad thing to have your, like, use your social media. Social media is obviously a huge thing. That doesn't mean go and tag every single college that you want to play at in every single video of you hitting on social media, yeah. But
I'm more about social media, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but using social media as kind of like your body of work.
Yes.
So like being able to show your improvements over time, right. Like not only physically, but obviously in the game.
And show accolades too. Like if you go and you win a perfect game award or something, or you go to a camp and you have numbers, like it's okay to share that stuff.
Like if we're a college coach and I'm like, okay, I need a short 28 shortstop.
For it anyways.
I'm gonna go and look up 2028 shortstop on Instagram, maybe. Yeah.
So have that in your bio.
Yeah.
Like have your gear, your height, your weight, maybe, I don't know. And then any sort of accolades you may have, like list a few, but don't list every like perfect game camp you went to.
We can get into the details. That might be a good one to go into later.
Anyways, beyond that, practices as far as just like what you're doing in, I would say, summer ball games, because that's when recruiting is happening. If you are a sophomore or junior in high school, or senior, I mean, it's never too late, and you're playing summer ball, no matter who you think is there or who you don't think is there, you better be the same every time, because I can guarantee you there are scouts there and you don't even know half the time.
Mm-hmm.
When Fuller Smith, the guy who recruited me to go play at UT Arlington, came up to me after one of my games, I thought he was a dad of one of the other players. I had no idea. And usually you can tell a scout, you know, they have a backpack, they usually have a polo on and a hat. And he didn't this day. And I wouldn't have known that he was a college scout. And so you just never know who's watching, and you got to be the same guy every time, because there will be a time where you know they're there and there's a time you don't know they're there. And by the same guy, I don't mean you have to go 4-for-4 in both games. I mean, you need to hustle on and off the field. And I know it sounds silly, but like be the first one on the field and be the last or the first one off of it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to show good character when you fail. Like if they saw you go 4-for-4 in one game and you're pumped up and awesome and a great teammate that day, and then they saw you suck it up one day, they're not always looking for just the results that you had that day. They're looking for how you carry yourself through both sides of the coin.
Right.
Was I the same guy on the 0-for-4 day that I was on the 4-for-4 today? Pick up teammates. If you got, I don't know, you're in the dugout and your second baseman just got out, take his glove out to him on your way out to your position. Like,
yeah. But that should be, if we're talking about elite baseball and softball, those are like non-negotiables.
They should be.
All the time, every time, like your shirt's tucked in, your hat's on right, like
you know, there's players who don't even think a second about things like that.
Yeah,
and I tell my guys all day, my high schoolers, like, hey, I know that the performance and the results at the end of the day, like, yes, that stuff matters,
yeah,
and that's what's gonna get eyes on you. But then once the eyes are on you, who are you?
Yeah, it's a hard thing.
You have no idea how quickly a college scout will scratch your name off the list, no matter how good you are, because of the way you carry yourself. Because
there's a thousand other people just like you.
There's a thousand people just like you. And I think that a lot of people get, especially in this day and age, like with social media, it's really easy to see that there's a thousand other people like you. But also if you're pretty good and successful and like you're getting tons of hype and all that, it's easy to feel like you're the man all the time. And college coaches have so many options. What makes you different?
Mm-hmm.
What makes them want to spend time and money on a guy like you or a girl like you? And so it's the little things. At the end of the day, they can go find anybody who can hit a couple home runs and play defense. But like, who's the guy who's going to be good
for the dugout?
Who's the gel? Who's the guy glue that they can potentially see being a captain one day?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just the way you carry yourself. And so that's my recruiting advice. If you want to get recruited, be different. Not just in a stats way, be different in every other way besides stats, and make sure that you're noticed. Could you go 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts and still get noticed by a scout for good things? And if the answer to that is no, then you got work to do.
That includes parents as well.
Ooh,
we won't get into that today. But if you're a parent,
we should,
and you are attracting attention in negative ways to yourself, that is the fastest way.
I've heard stories
to get your kid out of the mix for the school they
scouts
want to go
to. Scouts have scratched names off because of kids' parents before. Multiple stories of that happening.
Maybe that'll be a next episode kind of thing. As far as like logistically, some things that you need to make sure you're doing, and again, the landscape has changed, but this is just some of our experience. Emails are important. Emailing the coaches that you want to go. Their emails are all public because these are all usually public universities and their information has to be public. So their emails are going to be public. Email every single coach on staff. Make sure that you email them and you don't just copy paste an email with, hey, coach so-and-so, and you sent it to the wrong person. Yeah. Emails, social media, building up your social media presence, not necessarily tagging teams if that's not something you're comfortable with, but just building up a bank library of you as a player.
Yeah.
Making sure, and we'll talk about this in a second, if you feel like recruiting services and camps are important to you, you have to just make sure you do your research and figure out the validity of these camps. A lot of recruiting services and a lot of camps are just money grabs, and because parents are vulnerable and they want to do what's best for their kids, and they see this ad for a camp with all these coaches coming and they spend $500 on it. I will say those aren't totally necessary, and we can talk about that a little bit later.
They're more not necessary than necessary. Right.
Like, and I'll say this, I have a couple clients of mine who they were like not necessarily getting recruited at the top level. They're more like a mid-major level player, and they went to like a camp with the coaches of the camps listed that they were going. And they, it was like five or six schools, and they were all schools they were interested in. And that was one where I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like $250. Absolutely. Go do it.
Yeah.
But recruiting services who say they can guarantee you get recruited, don't believe it. Camps who are charging you $500+ and they don't have like coaches listed that are actually coming. Most of the time, the most, important camps will be around big tournaments during the year.
Yeah.
So they'll be around tournaments where these coaches are already coming in to recruit at those tournaments, and the camp is like the day before, the day after the tournament ends.
Yeah.
But those are just kind of best practices.
Can I touch on that for baseball just real quick? Yeah. I think for the baseball side of it, same thing. Like there's only one camp I ever know that actually got eyes on me, mm-hmm. and it was the area code games. And yeah. that wasn't a camp, that was like an invite only thing. And so baseball's the same way. A lot of it's money grab, perfect game. Don't even get me started on it. I would say that you would have a better opportunity going to the school's direct camp.
Definitely.
Than going to all these big ones that charge.
Like their winter hitting camp.
Right. Like it's what we've talked about this before, and I always tell my guys this, like, pick your dream school.
Mm-hmm.
Go to their camp. It's probably not you getting invited to it, but yeah. if it is, definitely go. But if it's not, like, go pay the money and go to your dream school camp just so you can say that, hey, I put my name and my face in front of my dream
and you can school. Talk to them because you're on campus and at their school.
And you can talk to them, and yeah, it's allowed. But then go and find maybe 2 to 3 schools that are a little more modest that you know, hey, with my talent level and me being really realistic with myself, I could see myself playing at a place like this. Mm-hmm. And then go to those camps. And also be able to tell the difference between a mass sent email versus a more personal email.
Yeah.
And I think that that's tough. But I think the more you read them, the more it becomes very obvious. Like, hey, the only thing that they changed in this email was the name at the top. Like, you will know if a coach is directly talking to you or if he's sending the same mass email to 1,000 other kids.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this on the camp thing. I could have gotten recruited to go play college baseball probably just by as many schools as I got recruited by without going to one single camp.
Yeah.
The only school I know saw me at area code was Tony Vitello from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And then he followed up and watched me play multiple times throughout the summer because I saw him after I met him at area code.
I'll say this for softball, the one, and I know it's different now because the structure of travel softball is a little bit different, but the one camp that I know got me in front of everybody. I was on a very competitive team, and I would have gotten in front of these coaches at some point anyways because we were also playing very competitive teams.
Yeah.
But what put me on the map first was the on-deck camp set up by Derek Allister. His daughter is the coach at Stanford.
Oh, yeah.
Really just amazing, really well-run camp. That guy has so many connections. And if you can make a name for yourself with him based on the way that you act, the way you carry yourself, how you play, playing hard –
yeah.
He can pretty much put you wherever you want to go.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And I developed a pretty good relationship with him, and he's a really, really great guy.
What would you say about, because we kind of went to some of Brooks's Perfect Game camps, but again, those were invites. So like, I think at the, if you're getting invited to a Perfect Game thing, like absolutely go, because there was tons of scouts at those. I just don't know. I don't know the structure that Perfect Game runs anymore with their invite camps.
If everything just seems to get watered down, and that's not like a knock on like the legitimacy of their top tier guys or the top tier girls or whatever other camps are going on, but it almost seems like obviously these things need money to survive. And so sometimes they'll bring in other people that maybe aren't as well qualified, and it just seems like it's kind of watered down. So I don't think, like, if you're relying on a camp to like make or break you, you're probably not going to go to the teams that would be at the camps anyways.
If you're relying on a camp that's going to make or break you, like, go to the school's direct camp.
Right.
Where you're in front of that coaching staff. But I've seen clips of, like, Perfect Game camp clips of kids who probably didn't even make their high school baseball team. I'm like, okay, this is the Perfect Game money grab camp. This is not an invite camp. And so just being able to tell the difference so you're not wasting your time and money.
Also, get on it. This is, like, the best advice I can ever give you. And, you know, please ask us questions if we didn't touch on something that you wanted to talk about. Getting on a good team. You're not going to get recruited out of high school baseball or softball. It's just not going to happen. It's not the way it works. You have to get on a good travel team where you can play. And you're, like I was saying earlier, like, you're in competitive tournaments. You're traveling a lot in the summer because you're playing teams from all over the country. And you're playing the best of the best, because that's not only where you get better as a person, but that's where the coaches are going. They know where those tournaments are. That's where they're going to be. And you have to get in front of them to get recruited.
As a recruiter, it's a one-stop shop. Like, hey, I can go to this one tournament with all the top teams in the country. I can see literally every kid that I want to come to my school in one place at one time. It's getting on a good team is the number one most important thing. And when we say good, it doesn't necessarily mean that, like, they're so-and-so elite all-star.
The name is, like, misleading. Not so much in softball, but in baseball. Well, softball's kind of getting there. Just, baseball's gotten there.
No, but I'm talking, like, they don't even have to be the top 10 team in the country or the state. It's just, like, do they play in good tournaments?
Right.
And I feel like in Texas, we're a little spoiled because there's just a lot of good baseball around here, and there's a lot of schools around here that are
softball's
good,
the total good opposite. Baseball schools. There's good softball, but most of the time, like, the big tournaments in softball are not in Texas.
Like, we didn't have to go. I feel like I played for the Houston Heat, and I didn't have to leave Texas to get recruited.
We did.
We played in tournaments every weekend with Florida, tons California. Of scouts. Like, there were scouts at every tournament because it was the Houston Heat, so we're on a good team playing against good teams, but we never had to go anywhere. And there's plenty of that in Texas, at least. So just, like, I think one that's local for us, the DFW Twins. I know a lot of kids that can get signed out of there and do get signed out of there. And I don't know if DFW Twins is, they're probably not, you know, like all these scout teams that you see, like, playing at Cary, North Carolina every year, but like, they get guys recruited. And if that's what you want, that's a local, more affordable option. Like, it's solid. Dolan's Dodgers is also great, but we won't get into all that, but like, just get on a good team for the summer. That is the most important thing. But also go to a team where you're going to play. Because if you're on a good team and you're riding pine all summer, you're not doing anything for yourself. So what else about recruiting?
We could probably end it there this time. Part two, we can talk about once you feel like you
are
ready to make a decision about your school, then how do we pick the school?
How do you decide? What are the deciding factors? Which we kind of alluded to a little bit. But just make sure, the biggest thing is that the wrap up here would be on a good summer team, find somebody who's going to be in the right tournaments, and be the same person every single day.
Just work
day.
On your character.
Yes.
If you're having to fake being somebody out there, you're not, you have a heart problem, and we got to work on that. And then until you fix that.
But even if you have to fake it.
Work on your heart first.
just freaking hustle, dude. There's so many guys out there who will get their name scratched because they just look lazy and they look entitled, and they throw a little pity party every time they get out. It's just like, you're done. You're not going to, no college coach wants that in their dugout, no matter how good you are or how good you think you are. So be the same person every time. That's recruiting. Good luck. And good night.